Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, welcome back to the Legal Nurse Podcast. This is Kelly Campbell, your co-host. You're in for a treat today. We have Dr. Candy Campbell, and no, we're not related. She's an international speaker, award-winning actor, author, filmmaker, and nurse leader. She co-founded an improv company in the San Francisco area and has taught improv since 1995 to students of all ages. Her latest book to be released in 2018 is Improv to Improve Healthcare, a System of Creative Problem Solving. Welcome, Dr. Campbell. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Kelly. And I just have to say that when I first heard from you, I thought it was my niece. I have a niece, Kelly Campbell.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, guess what? I have a sister, Dr. Campbell. So we're even.
Well, great to be with you today.
Yes, thanks for joining us. So tell us a little bit about our topic today. I know our audience is thinking, improv, how is this going to relate to me, my business? How can we benefit? Tell us a little bit about this.
Thank you, Kelly. The first thing I have to say is that we as healthcare people, we're mostly living in the domain of our left brain. You know, we read and regurgitate all kinds of facts from nursing school that have to do with our everyday life. We inculcate those into our knowledge base and we analyze and we come up with reasons that we do this, that, or the other thing. We're pretty much in the logical domain. And there's nothing wrong with that. We certainly need that. But in the studies of the brain that I did when I was doing my doctoral research on interprofessional communication, it shed light on some interesting things. And let me just take a little detour and tell you before I go into what I learned. One of the reasons I was interested in this is because I have been an actor for a long, long time, longer than I've been a nurse, and I've been a nurse almost 40 years.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Well, I can tell you that I found out early in my career after I had one of those casting couch experiences that didn't work well for the guy who was putting the moves on me. I shoved him across the room. But, you know, he was under the impression that this is the way, as an actor, you know, that I understood I would work my way up in the business. And that was not what my plan was. So when I finally decided, gosh, you know, I am going to probably be very poor for a very long time if I don't play the game the Hollywood way, or I could eat well and take off my clothes.
So part of the Me Too movement possibility, yeah, well, huh?
That was a long time ago, but things haven't changed much. So of course, I as a comic actor, I knew that even if I did decide to take off my clothes, which was not in my game book, I didn't want to get laughs that way. So I decided to just sort of chuck the whole acting thing for a number of years. And I was called into nursing when I actually had taken a job after this casting couch experience. I took a job as a flight attendant.
Ah.
Yeah. And so I tell people that I got the call to be a nurse 30,000 feet up when 124 people vomited in unison.
That's quite the call.
Well, I figured out that day that when, you know, we had a lot of turbulence, that you either go to help or you go to hide. And I was one who went to help. And my seatmate at the time, after it was all over, she said, "Wow, you know, I really admire you. I don't know how you did that." I said, "Well, you know, my mom taught me how to breathe out of my mouth. And besides which, you know, aside from the fact that there was ribbons of vomit, if it wasn't so sad that everybody was getting sick, it was kind of artistic."
You have nurse's humor. You do.
That's exactly.
And I think other people are laughing. I hope it's not just me right now.
I know she said you had that sick sense of humor. You should go to nursing school. So I did. At any rate, when the early 90s came about, I went through some personal trauma during a divorce, and it's never an easy thing. And after a year or so, as a single mom raising kids who were 8, 11, and 13, I just needed to laugh again. And I needed to get back on stage part-time, you know? So I started doing stand-up comedy.
Ah, okay.
There is a principle, if you've watched much stand-up, that your pain is very funny to other people. And so I started doing that. And through those that learning environment, and I met a bunch of other people who were doing stand-up, they were all doing improv. And I thought, well, it's funny because I had been classically trained as an actor in the late 60s and early 70s, and improv was not part of our curriculum. I mean, it not formally, because it was just being written about then. And so I had to sort of discover it then in the early 90s. And then a few of us, four of us all together, within a year, created our own, as you mentioned, our own stand-up and improv troupe here in the San Francisco East Bay. We were the only one around in the East Bay at the time. We worked together for about 3 years. And it was then that we were practicing improv comedy that I thought, this really has other applications. And just, you know, you think about how the telegenesis of ideas works. It's so interesting to study. Some guy came up after one of our shows, and they always did. Always people would come up, you know, and they'd say, "You couldn't possibly have made that up on the, you know, on the fly." And we're like, "Yeah, well, actually, you should. Some of our best stuff is in rehearsal and never seen, right?"
Uh-huh.
And so this guy said, "Could you all come and teach our engineers how to play nice and solve problems by, you know, they just, you know, they're at loggerheads." And so long story short, I was the only one who could show up, and I was the only one who had an education background. So that was in 1995, and I started teaching improv to businesses in the Silicon Valley area here. And I was so exuberated over this training because I had looked at it as a tool just for my stand-up and just for funsies, you know.
Right, right.
But what I saw was the application.
And what did they learn? Tell me how you do it. What do they learn? What's the application? And I'm sorry I'm fire gunning all these questions, but it's triggered me now. At first I was thinking of it as a comedy act. Mm-mm. But now I'm like the guy at the comedy show. There's an application.
Exactly, exactly. Getting back to what I was learning, and it's a long way to answer it, but what I was studying the brain and the neuroscience in order to write my dissertation about this, to sort of give it some credits, you know, because it hasn't been taken seriously in the medical community, although business since the early 90s has been getting it and they've been using it. Well, I learned that the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain are connected by the corpus callosum. And maybe if you've studied this, you remember in your pathophys. It's a bundle of nerve fibers that runs between the two hemispheres. And it is blocked whenever it communicates, right? It communicates messages left and right. But if we have that fear factor, and sometimes just being in a culture where you're talking to a superior in the food chain, or you're in some sort of situation where, because of the culture of where you are, you don't feel that you have a relationship with other people that's open so that you could actually say what would be helpful or what's on your mind because of fear of recrimination, then with these kinds of exercises, you open up the corpus callosum, get rid of the fear, and your happy hormones start percolating, which we know from the study of neuroscience, when you are open to new ideas, your happy hormones are percolating because you're getting positive feedback. Well, some wonderful things happen. Number one, you get clarity of thought. Number two, you get deeper relationships. Number three, you have the ability to think on your feet spontaneously. And number four, which is so important for us in healthcare, you have the ability then to go from thinking outside of the box to solving problems on the fly. This is so helpful. And so I've been working with teams, all kinds of teams. I began with the research that I did over at Stanford with a couple of teams that were having problems. And, you know, one way or another, it's a long story, but I work at the University of San Francisco. So I was able to get in there and work with some teams. And their feedback from an all-day workshop was absolutely astounding. They just wanted everybody to learn it.
Before we continue with the show, I want to share a resource loaded with tips for delivering powerful presentations. Get more in-depth knowledge about presentation techniques from my colleague, Stephanie Scotti, by investing in the webinar she did with me, Pat Iyer. It's called Accelerate. In this online training, Stephanie focuses on how to most effectively present your message. LNCs have so much to share with attorneys. When you are asked to make a presentation at a prospect or client's office or at an attorney conference, would you like to know the best way to begin? Would you like to know how to most effectively engage your audience, deliver your message, and connect with the decision makers? Would you like to master powerful presentation strategies that help you achieve relaxed self-confidence? Would you like to ace your presentation and gain credibility and clients? It's all covered on this on-demand, instant access training. You can get it at http://lnc.tips/accelerate and use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount off the price. That link is http://lnc.tips/accelerate. Now back to the show.
Sense, I mean, being able to think on the fly, not just in the medical arena, but if you're on the stand being questioned, if you're in an attorney's office and you don't want to be fearful to make a suggestion. That makes absolute sense to me. So what is a typical medical improv workshop like? Do you have to be an extrovert or no, you don't? Okay.
No, that's the happy news. As a matter of fact, some of the people that I've worked with, I just did a two-day workshop with a group of nurses from all over the place. And a lot of them were introverted, and their comments and their testimonies are so heartening to me, because they were so shocked at not only themselves, but the fun that they had, and that this new knowledge was so immediately applicable. And so in to answer your question directly about what is the workshop like, it just depends how long I get hired to do it. So I do, like at conferences, I'll do maybe an hour. That's a very interactive lecture that talks about the neuroscience. And then I've done it for groups of like 500 where we have some interaction, and it's pretty simplistic. It's just introducing the basics of like the yes and principle, which is, it sounds obvious, but most of us as healthcare people, we are trained to be analytical and say yes, but.
Yes, but. Oh, isn't that so true? So true. So you're also an academic. Mm-hmm. How do you use improv with the students?
Thank you for that question. I would love to do more with the students, but what I do now is, even in my theory classes, it doesn't matter what class it is, in order to break the ice, there's so many exercises that are immediately useful in order to get them to break the ice, not just with me, but with each other. Because in terms of nursing education, I work in the graduate school, we want people to think. And in order to think, you have to feel free to raise your hand and offer what might be a stupid suggestion, or somebody might think it's stupid, you might think it's stupid if you don't know. But again, this bouncing of ideas has been such fertile ground for projects of change, projects in the healthcare system, which is, you know, I teach the clinical nurse leader program, and that's exactly what we're trying to do, is get nurses to get out of the background and say, look, if we're not at the table, we're going to be on the menu. So let's, oops, sorry about that.
Well, right. To be nurse leaders, you know, not in the background. And it does make sense. The improv lets you to not be fearful, to be more confident. Oh, tell me how to sign up. I'm at a distance, though.
Well, that's all right. We are going to be having some more improv classes. Probably the next one is going to be in May next year, but and that's going to be on a cruise. It's called a Re-Energize Your Life Greek Isles Cruise.
Oh, la la.
We're going from May 20th to May 29th on the Royal Caribbean Jewel of the Seas, and I am just getting the flyer made, finished today. I can send information. Very minimal costs, and we're only having outside and balcony rooms. I mean, it's really going to be great. And of course, I'm an educational provider, so there will be CUs also. But in terms of your area, I will just say to all your listeners, if you'd like me to come, I'm very happy to do so. You just need to send me a little email and we'll work out the details. I'm at Candy, C-A-N-D-Y, at Candy Campbell. That's just like Kelly Campbell's last name. Campbell.
That's how I break it down.
That's right, .com.
Okay, so sorry for interrupting. Give that email one more time.
Okay, Candy, C-A-N-D-Y, at CandyCampbell.com.
Okay, thank you so much. And so just to break it down, let's give some highlights one more time for our audience. Improv, it is not just a comedy. It's a way to communicate, to not be fearful. What else would you say are the highlights?
It's a way to think on your feet, to spontaneously adapt to untoward situations, to come up with solutions to imminent problems, and to forecast in terms of change management for the future. It's very helpful in many aspects of your personal as well as your professional life.
You know what? That's so true. So true. It's a way for us to lead, ladies. All right. Thank you so much. And gentlemen, sorry. Sorry, gentlemen. All right. Thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. All right. Oh, thanks. All right. Tune in next week and don't forget to like us. Bye-bye.
And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on LegalNurseBusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month Clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.